Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, reading verse 18 and 19. "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead. But come, and lay your hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples." Heavenly Father, we need your help. Lord, we need your help. This horrible Hurricane Ida has brought destruction and the total eating up of whatever finances or savings that some people have, their houses destroyed, their livelihoods destroyed, their job gone. In Metairie, things are fine. In New Orleans, it's almost fine. But where I'm from, down the bayou, in Houma, in Chauvin, in Little Caillou, in Cocodrie, in Montague, and Ponachan, they still don't have electricity down the bayou. And the storm we just had, they sat in their houses and watched the rain fall from the ceiling again. The insurance man is nowhere to be found. The adjuster can't get him. Lord, please help South Louisiana. Please help my home, for this is my home. Lord, we look to you and we plead that you'd have mercy, that you'd not forget us. Please help us today. Please help us in Jesus' name. Amen. What a horrible situation. But let's take a look at our lesson today. This is part 14 of Fulfilled and Astonished, and hopefully today we wrap up. Again, we're in Matthew chapter 9. We've been looking at chapter 8 and chapter 9. And it's a picture, these two chapters, it's a picture of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. And as we see today, as he goes on his way, people come to him with problems, or he walks into situations, or what have you. And he shows himself to be God, God Almighty, the one with all the answers, the one with all power, the one where nothing is too hard for him. And that's my message. Look to Christ. Depend upon him. Don't look to your church or your denomination or your favorite false prophet on TV or YouTube or whatever. Look to God. Get your Bible, open it, start to read, and learn of the wonders of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's nothing too hard for Him. Put your trust in Him and not in religion. But again, our text today. Jesus, as He goes, and He had just left Matthew, that tax collector, Jesus called to follow Him, called him into the ministry, called him to be an apostle. And so He threw a party. And the Pharisees complained that Jesus hung out with sinners and tax collectors and the wrong crowd. And we studied that. But then He leaves. And in our lesson today, we see four people, or four events, or what have you, four problems that He's confronted with. And He's the answer for all four. And then we see, after that, a continual lifestyle of ministry. You know, I'm happy to preach my one sermon a week if I can get it recorded. And most churches today, that's what they have, one sermon a week. Sometimes a prayer meeting or something. It used to be we go Sunday night. It used to be. It's not that way anymore. But even at two or three services a week, that fills it out. And for some ministers, or most ministers, that's all they can do. But everywhere Jesus went, He healed the sick, He raised the dead, He cast out devils. He preached life-altering sermons, and many worshipped Him. And today, we ought to worship Him. Again, as we look at the life and ministry of Christ, it's continuous. But it says, as He was saying whatever He was saying, this certain ruler in Mark and in Luke, this story is told, and these other Gospels call his name Jairus, or Jairus, or what have you. But he said, "My daughter's dead. But Lord, You can come. You can pray for her. You can lay Your hand upon her, and she shall live." Great faith. And in response to that great faith, Jesus arose and followed him to his house, and his disciples went too. And as they were on the way, here comes an interruption. In verse 20, the woman with the issue of blood. I don't understand what or how or which or whatever, but she bled for 12 years. But it says that she came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself in verse 21, "If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. I shall be healed. I'll be made whole." And again, if you read the other accounts, there's more detail. But you'll find that there were so many people. He was in a thick crowd. He couldn't hardly walk or turn around or nothing. But he said, who touched me? And it was discovered that, hey, this woman, bleeding for 12 years, Jesus healed her. And I guess there's a lot here you can take a look at. Again, I don't know what disease she had. I don't know. But some people have chronic diseases, arthritis or diabetes or whatever. And she, and sometimes we today, suffer for decades. But we need to trust in Him. Just like Jairus, just like this woman with this issue of blood, we need to trust in Him. And she touched the hem of his garment, the fringes of his prayer cloth or whatever it was. And she was made whole. She knew, oh, the bleeding stopped as she touched that hem of his garment. Faith. Faith in Christ in the midst of whatever horrible problem. Faith in Christ will get his attention. There's other instances, incidentally, of folks grabbing the hem or the fringe or the whatever of his cloak or prayer shawl or garment or whatever it was. It's not just this one woman that thought, hey, I don't know, let me grab that the edge of his coat and I'll be healed. She didn't do this just because, and she wasn't the only one that did it. In Matthew 14, it says, and when they had gone over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they set out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made perfectly whole. Whoever reached out and touched the fringes of his garment or whatever it was, they were made perfectly whole. If you reach out to Christ, you can be made perfectly whole. God will help you. It's not a maybe or might or I hope so. Trust in him, the book says, and he will help you. I have no idea what he will do for you. I have no idea how long it will take. This woman suffered for 12 years. The other guy, 38 years. Trust in him. Depend upon him. Look to him. And touch the hem of his garment. But that garment, in Numbers chapter 15, verse 38 through 40, it says, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be to you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring, or to worship other gods, or to look to other things for help, that ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. In Malachi chapter 4, it talks about the fringes of his garment. The last book, the last chapter of the Old Testament. Verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And it goes on with the promise, but it says that the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness, the Son of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And that word wings in Hebrew can be translated fringes or hem. So these people, this woman, and these other people it mentions in Matthew 14, they knew the Bible. They saw a promise in the Old Testament in the Bible that they had, that there's healing in his fringes, healing in his hem, the hem of his garment. And they stood on that promise, and believed. They said, this is the one, this is the Messiah. And just like that woman, she said within herself, if I could but touch the hem or the fringe of his garment, I shall be whole. Again, my message, look to Christ. He's the answer. Look to him. Depend upon him. Where else shall we go? The disciples said, you have the words of eternal life, Jesus. So friends, let's look to him. Let's look to him. But again, Jesus, he's on his way to Jairus' house to heal the daughter that is dead, to raise her from the dead. And this woman interrupts, and she's healed. She's healed. And he finishes dealing with her, and he goes on. But it says in verse 27 that Jesus departed thence, or he left that place. But two blind men followed, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And he asked them, he tests them, you know, do you believe, what have you? He counsels with them a little bit, and they profess faith. Then he touched their eyes, it says, and they were healed. He said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And it says their eyes were opened. And again, we see something we've looked at before. It says that right after they were healed, Jesus told them, look, don't go telling nobody. Again, he did not trumpet himself. He did not talk about himself. Hey, look at me. He preached the scriptures, and certainly the scriptures pointed to him. But he did not do as the people on TV do. They talk about themselves constantly. They talk about their ministry, how important their ministry is, what have you. They brand the gospel. They market the gospel. But Christ himself, he didn't market himself. He didn't refer to himself. He wanted to be out of the limelight. And again, we've talked about that before. And let us remember, it's not about us or our ministry or our church or denomination or choir or whatever. It's about him. Let's make sure that Jesus is lifted up. He said if that happens, then he'll draw all men to himself. Let's do that. Let's look at Christ. Let's preach Christ. Let's let Christ get the glory and the credit. So that's the third event. The fourth. Again, Jesus is on his way. Left one place, gone to another. All these interruptions. The fourth. Verse 32 through 34. And they went out. As they went out, behold, they brought unto him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, or, again, were astonished. Remember, that's our topic, fulfilled and astonished. And in chapter 8, we saw again and again and again how the things that Jesus did were fulfillments of the Old Testament. And then all through these two chapters, we see marvel, astonishment, what have you. Again, he is worthy. And when we see him, as David said, and it's either Psalm 62 or 63, when David was in trouble, he longed to see the presence of God as he had seen him in the sanctuary. You know, church is good. That's fantastic. We can sing and shout. We can fellowship with our brothers. We can hear a great sermon. But when the hurricane comes and you're sitting in the dark, you can still praise Him. You can still commune with Him. You can still worship Him, believe Him, and be comforted by Him. But it says the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But in verse 34, the Pharisees said, he cast out devils through the prince of devils. In other words, they said that his miracles, the healing of the sick, the raising of the dead, would have you open blind eyes. They said that Jesus did that through the power of Satan. And here, he does not correct them, he does not address it, but as you study, and as we progress through the Gospels, you'll see that he confronts them and rebukes them for this and other charges. He has patience. In other words, God is patient. It's obvious that these horrible accusations from the Pharisees were wrong. They were completely out of place. But God shows his mercy, his patience, his long-suffering, what have you. He doesn't immediately correct them, but later on, he does, very strongly, I might add. But then number 5 here, verse 35 to the end. These last 4 verses shows a continual lifestyle, a continuation of ministry. He healed Jairus' daughter. He healed the woman with the issue of blood. He healed the 2 blind men. He cast out the devil from this guy that couldn't even talk. But then there's the continuation, a ministry that is never supposed to stop. Verse 35 through 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And he's quoting one of the prophets there. Then said he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers unto his harvest. And that verse applies today. That verse applies today. Some churches, some pastors are worried about the other church down the street stealing sheep. Honestly, it's ridiculous. There are so many lost people, so many sinners, so many on drugs, so many doing all the wrong things, and so many on their way to hell. I don't care about stealing sheep. I want to win the lost. I want to win the lost. I want to bring sinners into the kingdom. Remember the Great Commission, to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Because night cometh, Jesus said, when no man can work. Let's win the lost before it's too late. Let's look to Him, not to ourselves, not to our denomination, what have you. Let's look to Him and look for the lost. To win souls, make disciples, so that we can hear a well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in to the joy of the Lord.
Lord, take me back to the old.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.